Hello, what's up? This is Brother Joseph, talking to you from this bunker high in the mountains of British Columbia, Canada. Today is the beginning of my podcast. This podcast is completely done impromptu, with a little bit of editing, and some help, a lot of help from my friends for the music and the sound effects. I want you to enjoy. Story starts today in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're a first time listener to my podcast, then you're going to hear a story, a tale, a weave, a remarkable event that I will disclose to you. Bring your handkerchiefs. Leave your fear outside and bring with you your faith and open your ears what you are about to consume. And yes, bring your tea, your coffee, and come and sit in front of my antique ornate wood stove, for we must heat the room to keep the cold chills from entering. Gather around. Now this story is an ancient tale told to my great-great-great-grandfather. And he passed this story down through the generations by word of mouth. And today I am going to recount the story as I heard it from my father. My father was a brave man, with all the virtue, but he was not a kind man. He was not a generous man, but he was an excellent storyteller. This story is about a family and a father that had 7 sons. These 7 sons' ages went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 7. 1 year between each, and as they grew, the size became the same, and they were all strapping lads with great big muscles, sinew on bone. They were also very handsome, long flowing hair, all exactly the same color, dark black. They had braided each hairs, and they had wrapped them up in such a way that the hair formed a crown. Each had a crown upon their head, made from the very hairs that grew from them. None of them had ever cut their hair, and on top of this hair they wore fabric woven and knit by their mother. Their mother was strong-willed, and she had properties that made her very beautiful in her words, in her demeanor, in everything that she did. She possessed the wonderful qualities of a wonderful woman. She gave them everything in the way of the garb they wore, the scarves, the headbands, the turbans, the cloaks, the colors of the threads. She spent hours on each. They were well known in the community. Everyone saw them. They said, "There is one of those. There is one of those who stands above the rest." The values that they placed on their appearance, on who they were, was transmitted to everywhere they went. If you came near one of these, you knew you were in the presence of greatness, of wealth. Their father had trained them from the time they were youth to the time they were big. All of the values that he saw to be valuable, of course. And he named them. There's Jonathan. There was Matthew. There was Frederick. There was Steve. There was Randy. There was Tom, short for Thomas, and there was the last one, Johann was the youngest. Johann was the pride, the very pride of this father. For he had said to the rest, "This is the last one of you seven. I am proud of every one of you, but you all understand this is my last one, his name. He's above all your names." He left it at that. He just moved on. "We are the sons of Sceva. The name Sceva is the name above all names in this town, in this village. And anybody that knows the name Sceva knows to stand aside, to bow down." I want you to picture a small town under the control of the government, telling everybody, "You must do it this way, you must do it that way, your money must go to us, your taxes are ours, you must work, and you must give a percentage of that to our organization, our temple, you must give that portion every month, and once every year you must give a large portion of that to us. We call that taxes." At the same time, there is a sound in the background, a singing, a rumor of things that are happening. Sand and brick make up the city. And the city is 200,000 to 300,000 people, very close to a water source where the boats can come in and out. Exactly the same as pretty well all towns of that time and that era. The rumor now comes back around to the other place. "I have come to bring a message to you people, to you my men. And John, you must listen, and Matthew, please record what is taking place, because we are going to go about our day today, and I'm going to try to teach you what is happening. Gather your things and let us proceed." And a man comes up and says, "I am the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Tell me this, teacher of the law. What shall a man do to inherit your kingdom, the kingdom of our God, as you have said? What shall we do to inherit your kingdom? For we are of the synagogue of the Jewish. Our father is Abraham. What shall we do? Today is the Sabbath. Why are your men not doing what the Sabbath requires? Why are your men walking around and carrying their mats? Why are they doing this? It is a breaking the law of the Sabbath. Your name is Jesus? You call yourself Jesus? Our traditions go many years back. For I am a leader, a high priest in the temple of our God. Our father Abraham told us what to do in this temple, and we are doing the job. And your name is Jesus? I have come to bring a sword to this world." Where is this man? I hear of a man. Where is he? Oh, he is there. "This man, why are you lying on your bed there? You are sick?" "John, Matthew, bring that man to me. Why are you on this mat?"
"Master, teacher, I am ill. I have been ill since birth. They bring me here every day so that I may beg for my meal, that I may beg for the very thing I need to survive."
"You have come before me, you have brought before me your heart. Do you want to be healed?"
"Yes, yes, Master, yes, Master. I come before you and I say, I wish, I want, I pray that you show me. I have heard of you. I have heard of you. They're only rumors, but they brought me here today. My family, my friends have brought me and laid me here before you.
So be it. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk.
Who are you to tell this man he can be forgiven? Who are you? Who are you to say that this man's sins are forgiven? Who are you? Hey, John, look at... Look, John. Hey, look at that. He's sitting up. Huh, he's sitting up.
The master says, take up your mat and go home to your family and sin no more.
Not only do you break the law of the Sabbath, now you command others to break the law of the Sabbath by telling them to pick their mat up and walk. Who are you? Who are you? Your name is Jesus? I will be gone, and I will go and discuss this with my synagogue group.
I have gathered you together, my sons of Sceva, because today we are going to discuss the newest thing that we will do. We are the smartest. We are casting out demons in the name of Sceva.
But I am hearing of a name, a new name, that is over there that they are using, and they are getting much success, and they are taking away from us our source of income. They are taking away from us our job. They believe that they can do this, and they are getting success because they are doing this in the name of a man named Jesus. The rumors are that this man named Jesus is casting out devils, and he is doing this in a way that we don't understand, but he is getting much success. So I am going to say to you today, my sons, I want you to go out today and use the name that they are using. The name of this Jesus guy, this Jesus fellow.
Picture this now.
Seven strapping lads.
The Sceva brothers. Hey, you don't cross the Sceva brothers. They're used to people who cross them because they know how to drive out spirits, devils. And they got the proof. And they got the facts and the figures. And they got the money.
My sons, there is a man down the street who has been speaking against the gods, who has been speaking against the people, who is causing much disturbance. And we must go in there and we must stop him from doing that because that is our job. So I will send you now to go to that house and drive out that spirit and use this name. What was the name again? Oh yeah, the name of Jesus. Use that name. And oh yeah, by the way, there's another guy named Paul. He used to be one of them over there in that temple. He used to be one of them. Now, I want you guys to go in there today, my son, and I want you to show them that we are the ones in charge here.
For sure, Dad.
Now we go back to the scene again, though.
Seven angry men walking in a line. One foot after another, yet one left, right, left, right, left, right, and come to the door of this small abode. Bang, bang, bang on the door. Open the door!
Small woman comes to the door, frail, afraid, and opens the door and says,
can I help you? Can I help you?
We have come to deal with the devil that is in your son. She opens the door.
Please come in. He is in the back room. He is very calm at this point. So please try not to awake him.
Hurry, lady. Come on, guys. Let's get him. Let's get in there and let's get this over with. I mean, this is one of the easy ones. He kind of twists his neck back and forth and you hear the cracks coming out of it. And knuckles, cracking his knuckles, saying, hey,
It's gonna be an easy one. Come on, Simon, let's get at him.
They formed a circle. They kind of crossed their arms and put their elbows together and stood in front of this small, insignificant man sitting in the chair, kind of half asleep, kind of sniffs a little bit. And he kind of leans back and he looks. He says,
"Mom, Mom, who are these people? Mom, Mom."
Kind of just rolls out of him as a... It's obvious. He's got a problem, this little thing. The confrontation is now going to begin. I'm going to try to recount what I saw. I'm going to kind of try to leave these characters out of this for this point, but I'm going to try to recount what I saw as a person looking through the window of this little house. And in this chair sat this small man, and beside the door was a small woman wringing her hands. She kind of twisted her hands, and she's kind of looking at the thing. She's kind of hunched over a little bit. And you can tell she's scared because she's kind of hiding behind the corner of the door looking in. But I'm watching this all take place. And the oldest one, the mouthpiece, looks and says, "You, what is your name?" Little man turns around and says,
Who are you?
This is a better question. "I am one of the sons of Skiba." "Oh, all right.
How come you got so many guys? How many?
His voice is kind of almost intelligible, but he's asking them, "How come you guys are all around me? What's happening? What's up?" There's rumors that you are doing this very strange things, and it's obvious you're demon-possessed. We've come to help you by casting that demon out of you, and we are going to make it so that your life becomes easier. And then your mother and you are going to pay us because we fixed your problem."
Okay.
One of the bigger ones halfway in the middle stands up and says, "We are going to cast the devil out of you in the name of that fellow named Jesus who has been doing it down the road, the one who Paul talks about. We're going to use that name." He sniffs, proudly puts his arms together and says, "Hey!" And he puts his arms, and all of them are standing there with their arms all folded. And this little man, like that, just sucks back. And his neck straightens up, and he looks up and says, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but I don't know who you guys are, and I'm going to show you guys in about 3 seconds who I am. But we are the sons of Skiba. We don't fear you," said the one to the bottom end of the pile.
I gather up the clothes and put them in a pile.
Out they go. You know, this I can't describe it better now. The screams and the howling and the wickedness of the vent and just looking at this thing and happening, and as the dust clears, I look and I say, "What has just happened?" And all the furniture is broken, and all the everything is destroyed in that house. And the little mother's over there, she's just going, "Oh, please, 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 open." And what happens is he settles down, he sits down back in the chair, and goes, he falls asleep. And he's sleeping. There's just like, I mean, look, there's clothing, there's boots, there's hair, there's blood, there's jewelry. There's three over there, crouched in the corner, naked and bleeding. And over here, there's another one. He's climbed up on top of some kind of a pantry or something. He's up there. He's kind of hanging on. And there's another one over there. Boy, I'll tell you, he's at the door. I mean, I'm watching, and he's like, come on, mom. And he's kind of crying. Oh, he's begging. And he's crying. He's saying, guys, let's get out of here. And then I watch, and this is like a, it's like a rats escaping a ship. It's like, they're I mean, it's a confusion of these, I mean, what happened to us? And you know, one after another, out the door they go, naked and bleeding, and down the street they go. And I'm gonna have to put this down. I gotta write it down now. I gotta write this down, but how am I going to get this point across? Because if I don't write this down, there's nobody gonna hear it. Nobody's gonna believe it. Nobody's gonna believe the fact that this little man who is demon possessed. And I say, why did he become so frustrated? And why did he tear apart those people because they invoked the name of the man who was doing this down the street? What if the man down the street was getting the same treatment? Maybe I should go check. Okay, well, this is the end of my first podcast. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and then their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Okay, now some Jews who were around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, I command you to come out. They were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, doing this. One day, the evil spirit asked them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. And a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And they calculated the value of the scrolls, and that totaled 50,000 drachma. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Receive that in the name of Jesus. We'll see you later.